kingdom is spiritual. Write this down. Number two, mountains mean not only is it spiritual, but it represents authority. Number three, you can write down, it represents dominion and rule. And here in Joshua, you can write down number four, it means inheritance. You see, when we go into the mountain, there's a spiritual side that opens up to us. You understand? There's a spirit dimension. There's a realm that opens to us. And in that realm, there is an authority, a stature. And with that authority comes rule and dominion. A dominion. We're going to take a look at sometime domains and how we know we're called to a particular domain. You see, as saints, we have to know how to operate in our grace. You suffer defeat, you suffer harm, loss, and everything that goes with that when you operate outside of your grace. So you have to define, and with your grace is defined your domain, where God has purpose for you to function. You function at 100%. It's not hard, it's easy. It comes almost naturally because you're in your grace. You know, somebody that can't hold a note, they may like to sing, but we'll relegate their singing to the shower. Or solo. Solo, nobody hears. But no, keep singing. It's just not your grace. Versus someone that is grace for that. You understand? The singing comes easy. It comes to them easy, and they enjoy it. It causes the baby to leap. It's where they are. But we'll look at that in a much deeper way sometime soon. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17, and we're still on the mountain. And verse number one, we have to go to the mountain. Look at someone, tell them, give me this mountain. You have to get past your fear of heights. Get past your fear of falling, failure. I tell the story often of that place in Colorado called Estes Park. There was a road there, very popular, called Trail Ridge Road. I don't know if it's still the highest road that you can, drive your vehicle on. It went up 13,000 some odd feet. That's pretty high. But at the base of the road, I remember the day that I drove it. At the base of the road, it was in the 90s. It was a hot day. It was in the summertime. It was hot. But it didn't take but about an hour, if that, to get to the top, because it was a continual road. You get to the top and there's snow, and it's very windy. You can make snowballs and throw. We were throwing snowballs. You could do that. I mean, you could see from that mountaintop. You could see distances. This was Colorado, and you could see the mountain peaks all the way from where we were in Estes Park all the way to Denver, Pikes Peak. You could see it. At the base, you couldn't see. You know, even though it's there, you couldn't see it. Mark this down. The next point is revelation. That's why you need your mountain. That's why there's a mountain that you need to scale, you need to climb for the sake of revelation, so that you can see, so that there be maximum visibility. In Matthew chapter 17, it says that after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was there transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. It's important, some mountains, in our lives, there are different types of mountains, different types of mountain peaks. This particular mountain, let me say, is the mountain of revelation. You know, we need to climb certain mountains, let me say, in order to receive revelation. Again, in order to have maximum visibility. I love the mountains myself. I love, you know, in other lands like Haiti, different places where there are high mountains. And I've climbed mountains before. I love the mountains. There's something at the tops, at many of the peaks, it's barren. It's not what you think. Not a lot grows there. A lot of people don't go there. It's not crowded at the top. It's not. You don't have crowds of people at the top. You may see a hiker here and there. See, a lot of people don't want to go there. But see, revelation waits for you there. Come on, say, revelation awaits at some mountain peaks. There's some revelation you need to have as it pertains to your destiny. But you won't find it unless you go apart with Jesus to a high mountain. See, even when they got up there, Peter was still opinionated. "Let us make 3 tabernacles," until God the Father spoke, and then it shut him down. They got afraid. It must have been a voice that thundered, because they got afraid, and Peter stopped talking. There are mountaintops of revelation concerning your business. There's some hidden truths. But you go to the mountain, and all of a sudden, God starts revealing things to you that seem so simple. Why didn't I think of that before? Because you didn't go to the mountain. There are different types of mountains. Let me give you a small example here. Elijah had experience on 2 mountains, Mount Carmel and Mount Horeb. Mount Carmel and Mount Horeb. Now, Mount Carmel means, the name means fruitful, plentiful field. Carmel means fruitful, a plentiful field. Now, on Mount Carmel, and for the sake of time, I won't get into all of this, but on Mount Carmel, certain events took place with Elijah. Number one, on Mount Carmel is where Elijah turned the hearts of Israel back to God. On Mount Carmel was where Elijah prayed and the drought came to an end. He saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. That was on Mount Carmel. On Mount Carmel was where he slew all of the false prophets. He shut the voice of falsehood. He shut down Jezebel's voice on Mount Carmel. Slew 450 prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah on Mount Carmel. On Mount Carmel, he ran down from there to the entrance of Jezreel. Now remember, Jezreel, the word Jezreel means revelation. Let me paint the picture for you. Ahab and Jezebel built their palace in Jezreel. Now remember, the kingdom is spiritual. They did that to control the revelation, to control Israel. You know how this, it's just like the media today, television. You know, you see trends on TV or in the malls, and guess what? You see people wearing it. It don't matter how much it costs. What is it? They're controlling the revelation. And really, there's nothing new under the sun. Haircuts ain't new. Shoes ain't new. You know, suits and shorts ain't new. I wouldn't be surprised they go back to Daisy Dukes. I wouldn't be surprised. Because somebody wear it and it looked nice on them, somebody popular wear it, then everybody go out. They don't know. We wore Daisy Dukes back in the day. But on Mount Carmel, you see, Jezreel was the inheritance for Issachar. Remember when there were portions of land portioned out to all the tribes? Issachar was given the land of Jezreel. Remember the tribe of Issachar. What were they? They were the prophetic tribe. They had understanding of times to know what Israel ought to do. They were the ones. There were 250. You could go to them and they could prophesy. They could tell you. They understood times. So Jezebel and Ahab built the palace there to block, to take control of. But when Elijah came down from Mount Carmel, he outran the horses of Ahab to the gate of Jezreel. He made a mistake by not going in. He had the grace. He had come from the mountain. He had slain the prophets. He had defeat, but he stopped at the gate. You see, had he gone in, he would have carried that revelation in. But he stood there and waited for the revelation to come out. And they still had control. And she said, tell him that I am not the queen if he is not like one of these prophets that he just slew by this time tomorrow. And it hit him and he ran. And this man was not afraid. You see, the kingdoms are spiritual. He was not afraid of anything. He had just slain 450 prophets, outran a horse and chariot for 17 miles. You know, 100 meters, you know, somebody could probably outrun a horse, but 17 miles in a driving rainstorm, this man had a grace upon him because he was coming out of the mountain. Now that's a type of a mountain where there's divine intervention, Mount Carmel. But now on the other hand, and this is what we must understand too, God will sometimes take you to another mountain. Sometimes he will take you to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb means desolate. It means drought, dry. It has to do with heat.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 59 of our Mega Grace series, Give Me My Mountain. Elijah turned Israel back to God. He silenced the voice of falsehood. He killed the prophets of Baal and Asherah. Jezreel was the place of revelation. Just as Elijah was confronted by the enemy trying to block the revelation of God in his life, the enemy today is trying to hinder the flow of revelation in your life. Elijah stopped at the gate, but we have to go farther and enter the gate. Matthew 27:51 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent." My friend, Jesus has once again given us access. Enter the gate.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.